This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wonder what Scott Petrak thinks.
I got to find guys from Cleveland here, too. That's another thing, too.
Oh, there you go.
Let me go find some Cleveland.
I love the way you, I love the way you fly the flag. It's fabulous. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the hot shots for the, He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, and you can read all of his work at brownzone.com. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm good.
Did you get your fill of the Alliance of American Football yesterday?
You know what? I watched a bit Saturday night. Yeah. I did not catch any yesterday. But I kind of like the idea of it. I think it's got a chance. I mean, you never know. It's early, but the fact that guys like Bill Polian are involved, you know, it's a bunch of guys who want to get back to the NFL. I think it's got a chance to stick around if they can figure out a way to, you know, work with the NFL.
I think so, too.
What'd you like about it, Scott?
Well, you know, the little bit that I saw, the play wasn't that good. And it starts with the quarterback. I think they maybe need better quarterbacks, at least from the little, you know, that I saw. I just like that it's really similar to an NFL game. It's not tricked up like, you know, we saw the XFL try to be a few years back in its first reincarnation. And then it's guys that either have been in camps or trying to get to camps. You know, I talked, there's two Elyria kids on the Atlanta team, Tracy Sprinkle and Chase Ferris, both at Ohio State. And they've had looks in the NFL, and they're trying to get back. You know, Chase had an injury he's come through. And they said the competition's legit. You know, they were in all the teams were together in training camp in San Antonio. And they think it's got a chance to succeed.
The perfect thing about it is the timing. And it seemed like, Andy, you know the term. What's the, when a restaurant opens?
Soft opening?
Yeah. It's like this league had a soft opening.
What, you turned to me for the food reference. Thanks.
Well, I knew you knew the answer to it because you've used it before. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't overly hyped or anything. I mean, you heard a little bit about it, but I'll be honest, Scott, I didn't know a ton about it. And then all of a sudden it shows up the week after the Super Bowl on the NFL Network with the NFL right. logo there. And the timing's perfect because if a guy looks good, well, he's signed and he's going into OTAs and everything else with an NFL team.
That's exactly right. I think that's a big part of it. You finish in whatever, March, April, you head into the off-season program. It's only a 10-game schedule, so, you know, the body can recover.
Yeah.
I think there's some good things about it. I do feel like there's kind of a void. You know, you see, at least my Twitter feed is so NFL dominated, but you see people going, what do I do without football? Well, if you really like football and you can gamble on this, then you can watch the AAF, you know?
The one thing I thought an interesting quote from Bill Polian about this was the NFL is doing a lousy job of developing quarterbacks and offensive linemen. And he said that because of the whole practice, you know, you're not allowed to practice like you used to practice in the NFL. So those are the two positions that don't get game reps. You don't really substitute offensive linemen and you don't substitute the quarterback. So everybody else might be getting game reps and those two positions aren't. And I could see this league and maybe even the new XFL when it comes back just being a feeder league again, especially for two things, offensive line depth and quarterback depth.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I keep thinking about a guy like Kurt Warner who, you know, was able to go over to Europe and he played in the Arena League. And it just doesn't feel like there's that many opportunities now for a guy to get in, especially those two positions, like you mentioned, to get in a lot of work. So if you're, you know, Christian Hackenberg or, you know, Davis Webb that goes to the Giants and you never get to play and then you're out of the league, this is a way for you to get those reps that are crucial and you're not getting a lot of practice time. So I think that can be very beneficial. And obviously I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of stars come from these leagues, but maybe you have that one quarterback that gets the opportunity and starts to shine and was overlooked for whatever reason, kind of like a Kurt Warner was. So, and I wonder if the next step, you know, I'm not saying this year, but a guy like Austin Corbett, who didn't play for the Browns hardly at all, Could the Browns put him on one of these teams for a few weeks to get some reps? Is that something NFL teams would want to do, or they'd be too concerned about injuries or getting, you know, the wrong coaching? But it feels like that would be the best chance for a guy like that to grow, as opposed to non-contact practices from April through June.
But isn't that what the World League did? Didn't the World League take guys from the practice squad, and they were the basis for those World League teams in the offseason, and then they built around them? That'd be great. Let the practice squad guys who didn't see any game time, you know, let them do this. I think it's a great idea. What about some of the nuances of the league that are different than the NFL? I got to tell you the one thing, and Scott, I don't know if you saw it, but when they went to replay, I was absolutely glued to the TV watching and listening to the replay official on television explain what he sees, when he sees it, and move on. And it seemed a lot faster than what the NFL's doing right now.
I like a lot of the experiments. I don't know how many are going to stick, and I think you need to see a longer or bigger sample size. But the no kickoffs is interesting. I'm not crazy about the change in the overtime rule. You start at the opponent's 10, and you just get one chance, and then you wind up in a tie if you are both tied. No extra points, going for two.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be good to see how that plays out over season. Is it really interesting? Is it kind of fluky? You know, we've all talked about the kickoff probably going away at some point, so I don't think that's a big leap. And then how does the onside kick rules play? Because we saw this year that it was almost impossible in the NFL to convert an onside kick. Well, now I think they give you, it's like 4th and 10 from your 25. And if you convert it, you get to keep going. And I like that option. I don't know if that's the perfect scenario. 4th and 10, you know, should it be 4th and 15? Should it be?
It was 4th and 12 or 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be something that's easy to convert. So I want to see how it plays out. But I like there's a chance where now it feels like in those playoff games, you're going, they need to convert an onside kick. That's just not going to happen anymore. And at one point it did, but the change in rules make it nearly impossible.
You know what's going to be weird, though? If you do that 4th and 12 play, say from your own 25 or something like that, and it goes for you hit a bomb or a guy catches a slant and goes down the field and would go all the way for a touchdown, the fans are going to go nuts because they're going to think it's a touchdown when all you really, we just picked up the first down, let's go back and now we get the football.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird to watch.
Wait, there's no points on that?
No.
If you would score on that?
I would think not, right?
You know what? I don't know that. I don't know.
You'd have to come up with a point value for that.
No, I don't think you could, because that's just the onside kick.
Yeah, what's the difference between though? But you can pick up an onside kick if the ball's up in the air and jumps up into your arms and you run down and score. That's a touchdown.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Not if you're the kicking team. If you're the receiving team, it is. But I don't think the.
Oh, you're right. If it's the other way around, yeah.
So what's I wonder. If let's just say we're going to try an onside kick. We have the 4th and 12 at our own 25. What if the running back breaks it and goes 75 yards? Is that a touchdown or is that okay? Now you've got your first down. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is why not let it be a touchdown? But that gives the offense way too much, way too much incentive. I think the advantage shifts to the offense. What if there's a 45 yard pass interference?
Yeah.
Should you get it? No, you probably get – it should probably be your ball at the 35, and then you got to go 65 yards for a touchdown. But I like that there's an option there. It doesn't feel like the game's necessarily over, when you're up 2 scores with a minute left. Although, if you play 59 minutes and are up 2 scores, there's something to be said for it. It should be really hard to lose that lead.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Wait, let me ask you guys this question. This is just a dumb question based on this conversation. What happens if a returner – just totally, brain farts. And it's a kickoff, and the ball ends up in the end zone on a kickoff, and it's live, and the other team jumps on it. Where do they get the ball back? Is that not a touchdown?
No, that's a touchdown.
Okay, that is a touchdown.
In college, if the ball goes in the end zone, they blow it dead. But I think in the NFL, it's a touchdown.
I don't know that I've ever seen it. Has anyone ever seen it? I've never seen anybody ever do that. But now you guys got me thinking about all these new rules.
Yeah. So I'm watching the game last night between Arizona and Salt Lake, and Marvin Lewis is doing the color, and he was with Maurice Jones-Drew, and somebody mentioned that the Arizona quarterback, I think it was MJD, reminded them of Baker Mayfield a little bit, and Marvin goes into Baker was terrific and blah, blah, blah. And Hugh, the talent that Hugh brought in and everything else.
And
you know, we saw what Baker did, and Hugh got him going. And then the play-by-play guy actually reeled him in and said, you know, John Dorsey has done a very nice job of assembling talent. I was like, thank you very much.
Cracked me up. Can't get away from Hugh, huh?
I guess not, man. It was the Hugh Jackson thing. So John Dorsey acquiring talent. You expect him to be unbelievably active in free agency, Scott, or just active well with an eye open on the trade market?
I'm leaning toward active with an eye open. But, and I say that because when I sat down with him before last season, he talked about it being, you know, a 3-4 year process to get the roster to where it needs to be. And I think that made sense coming off 1-15 and 0-16. However, having seen Baker, which, right, they didn't think Baker was going to play as much as he did last year as a rookie.
Right.
So having seen him play like he did, to me, that opens up the window. You know, the championship window, whatever you want to call it, the playoff window. And so I'm really anxious to talk to John at the Combine about that. Do you feel a bigger sense of urgency now because of how the team played, especially because how Baker played? And does that mean you make more moves? Are you more, do you take more gamble while you have Baker under this rookie contract? And I think it would only be natural to do that. You know, we all know that free agency, you can't live through free agency. It's not sustainable. But maybe for a small window, that's how you do it. And with every contract kind of being a 2-year contract before a team can get out of it, it seems like an opportunity to take some chances that maybe he wouldn't normally have taken.
Is Drew Stanton your backup quarterback? I don't want to continue quarterback talk, but it obviously is an interesting question for this team.
Well, that's another thing I want to talk to John about. And I don't, I'm okay with, I like Drew being on your roster. I'm not crazy about Drew being your backup. And I think if you really are serious about contending, you have to have a plan for if Baker gets hurt for 4 or 6 weeks. And the guy's got to be coming, got to be able to come in and win games for you. And if you can upgrade from Drew Stanton, which I think you can, I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick's that guy. You know, he's got the Todd Monken connection. But a guy like that that can come in and put up points and win games, I think is crucial. And we've seen teams without a solid backup not be able to do it. So it all comes down to how much you trust Drew Stanton. You know, it's a limited. He hasn't started a bunch of games. I think he's 8-7. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, but it's close to something like that. 7-6 as a starter. Do you really trust him? I'd be more inclined to try to upgrade that position as opposed to drafting a guy in the 5th or 6th round as a developmental guy. And then you have to play Drew if Baker gets hurt. I'd go more the veteran route for the next year or two before I went, all right, let's bring in another younger guy.
Scott, last thing. I thought it was really interesting today, a Monday morning quarterbacks, or well, Peter King's version of it or whatever. No, it was the Monday morning quarterback. And it was written that Todd Monken might be the best assistant coach hire this offseason in the NFL. Thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah, it seems like a stretch just because he's not going to be calling the plays.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
You know, it's just one meeting with these guys. And I really like Steve Wilkes. I mean, he was the guy that impressed me of those three guys we talked to last week. Not that that means anything, but first impressions. I could see that if Monken were calling the plays. I do like the fact that he brings that air raid background. I know he tried to downplay it, but I think that's going to be big as the game moves toward college offenses. He has that experience. I think we've seen Baker excel in those kinds of in that kind of offense, bringing in more RPOs than we saw last year. So I think it's a good hire. It's still fascinating to see how he meshes with Freddie because they didn't know each other. They don't come from the same background, so they're going to have to figure out a way to make this offense work. But I like the fact that Freddie was open to bringing in guys that he necessarily hadn't worked with before. And I think that shows an openness from Freddie that you don't get in other head coaches.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Scott
Petrak, Chronicle Telegram. You can read his work there or at brownzone.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.